Right now, I'd like to welcome to our program Poe Murray. She's chair and co-founder of the Newtown Action Alliance, and which was founded, of course, in the wake of the horrendous shooting back in December 2013, in the wake of the shooting of 20 first graders and six educators in Newtown at the Sandy Hook Elementary School. And Poe Murray, I'm very happy you could join us this evening. Thanks so much for making time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Poe, tell our listeners who may not be familiar with your group a bit about your Newtown Action Alliance.
Yeah, so the Newtown Action Alliance was formed several months after the Sandy Hook tragedy in our community. It's an all-volunteer grassroots group formed to create some cultural and legislative changes to keep our children and families safe from gun violence.
Thanks. And since the tragedy in your city, in Newtown, there have been a frightening succession of mass shooting incidents across the U.S., the latest, of course, being in Santa Barbara, California, where on May 23rd, Elliot Roger, a 22-year-old student, went on a rampage, killing six, wounding 13, and finally killing himself. His manifesto found after the shooting points to mental illness as the trigger of this tragic event. What policy initiatives need to be implemented to keep guns out of the hands of people who are a danger to themselves and others, do you think?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that our hearts and our prayers go out to, you know, Mr. Martinez, his family, other families affected by the tragic shooting, and the entire community of Isla Vista. There are certainly things that we could do to, you know, keep our children and families safe. For example, one of the first things they could do is finish the job on the background check to make sure that, you know, anyone purchasing a gun should be subjected to a background check. Another initiative that is being pushed already in California is the gun violence restraining order. That's where a family member that is concerned about another family member could seek a temporary restraining order on the person's ability to purchase guns. So, I mean, that is certainly something that could have helped in this situation in California.
And do you see any signs that this incident will be a catalyst for renewed debate in voting in Congress in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I don't know if you're aware, but last Thursday, the House of Representatives actually took some congressional action. They increased the funding for NICS system by $19.5 million. And, you know, that is certainly a step in the right direction. I do believe that was in response to, you know, what happened in California. And we hope that there will be other policy changes, you know, because of that and incident.
What do those funds cover that the House voted for?
Yeah, so there was a shortfall in the ability of states to, you know, adequately, you know, put the mental illness records into the NICS system. So those funds will go to the state to cover the shortfall.
So that's one step, but I would ask you, from someone who's been active on this issue for some time now, how much power does the NRA have, and what is the role of the gun manufacturers across the country who, from what I understand, are really the ultimate power behind the NRA in terms of their lobbying against any gun regulation whatsoever, and all these new laws that are cropping up in many states where these open carry laws are being approved by legislatures, mostly dominated by Republicans?
Yeah. Well, obviously, you know, the gun manufacturers are funding the NRA and, you know, giving them the voice that, you know, they need to, you know, represent themselves. But, you know, we're countering them with initiatives such as, you know, working on with Campaign to Unload to teach community members to unload their 401k from the gun manufacturers. And we're also working with groups such as Metro IAF, where towns and cities can leverage their buying power to ask gun manufacturers to be more responsible. So there are a variety of methods, you know, for us to counter the lobbying efforts of the NRA.
And it's interesting to look at the situation that we've seen in Washington since the Newtown shooting, where although poll after poll indicates that a majority of the country is for, you know, comprehensive background checks for gun sales and the common sense laws that your group and many others advocate, the fact is there's a deadlock in Washington, and it seems to be the lobbying power of these of the gun manufacturers through the NRA. Despite some of the progress that's been made, it just seems that it's an enormous challenge that needs to be overcome. And what ultimately do you think is needed to really overcome these obstacles of the money that these manufacturers give to politicians, which when you come down to it is the real problem here?
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is the American people need to stand up and make this a priority for them. And as, you know, more and more communities and more families are affected by gun violence, I think it will be a priority for, you know, many Americans. So, you know, once the community members and Americans demand action on gun violence, then we will see change. But we're close. You know, last year when they took the vote on the background checks in the Senate, we had 55 votes. And if we didn't have the filibustering rule, I mean, that would have passed. So, I mean, basically, Americans have to demand change, and they have to get out and vote when it's time to, you know, make those changes.
And that was the Manchin-Toomey bill that was in the Senate, I think. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the victims' parents in this latest horrendous incident in Santa Barbara, Richard Martinez, who you mentioned earlier tonight, in his state of grieving after he was informed of his son's death in this incident, he really let Washington have it, calling out politicians for their inaction to control the proliferation of guns across the United States. And I think the emotional outpouring, the passion with which he delivered his remarks, you know, in the midst of his grief at his son's death, was extremely powerful. And I think you couldn't help but watch him as he spoke to the news media and have deep empathy with him. But also, you know, his message resonated because he was a man in pain, and he speaks for so many across the country, and of course so many in Newtown. What do you think this particular parent can do in terms of pushing the agenda forward on gun control?
Well, he's done so much already. I mean, we don't blame Mr. Martinez for being angry. You know, Congress and other legislators and state legislators could have done more. And, you know, we already appreciate the people that have worked on pushing, you know, strong gun safety laws in the nation, but certainly there's more that could be done.
And, Paul, what would you tell people about a particular, well, strange situation you have in your town, in Newtown, where you have the National Shooting Sports Foundation with its headquarters right in Newtown, Connecticut. Tell our listeners a little bit about what the National Shooting Sports Foundation does and why your group and others have targeted them for protests right there in the streets of Newtown.
Yes, yeah, so many of the community members have been regularly protesting in front of NSSF because NSSF has spent, you know, more than $2 million lobbying the politicians to prevent gun safety laws from being passed or fighting gun safety laws that have already been passed. So it's just, you know, very ironic that we have a huge lobbying body right in Newtown, Connecticut, where one of the, you know, worst school shootings occurred.
What's been the response? I mean, given what happened in the city there of Newtown in their own backyard, and I'm sure a lot of the employees and the heads of the corporation probably live there, have they bent their message at all? Have they changed their tune at all in the last couple of years?
No, they have not. There's been no change in their stance.
And, well, I guess you're continuing the pressure on them. I just read recently there were another round of protests in front of their headquarters, so you're keeping up the pressure.
Well, some of our members participated in that protest, and then, but there is a group of community members that regularly protest at that site.
Well, Paul, thanks so much for joining us and telling us about your work. And I would just leave you with this last question is, what, in terms of action and sort of effective things people can do at this juncture to move the agenda forward in terms of gun safety laws and strengthening them. What things do you advise our listeners to consider doing in this fight?
Well, they can certainly pay attention to who they're voting for. That's really important. And they can also, you know, participate in things like unloading their 401k from gun manufacturers and asking for accountability from corporations as well as the politicians. There are plenty of things to do, and there are plenty of groups and organizations that are participating in gun violence prevention. So, you know, we ask, you know, just like what Mr. Martinez said, we ask the voters in this nation to do one thing, or whatever that may be, to help the cause.
Just do one thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Paul, thanks for joining us. And leave our listeners with your website so they can learn more about the work you do at the Newtown Action Alliance.
Sure. They can go visit us at www.newtownaction.org.
NewtownAction.org. All right, Paul.
Yeah.
We'll look forward to staying in touch and keeping up with the things that you're working on. And thanks so much for spending time with us tonight.
Thank you very much.
Take care, Paul. Good night.
Night.
That's Paul Murray. She's a chair and co-founder of the Newtown Action Alliance. Happy to have her on tonight.